All right, are we ready? Okay, good morning. Those of you who've come out for Bible study on July the 4th, thank you. I know we probably have some that are out traveling and vacating and doing things with their family, and that's good. I'm happy for them. This morning, as I said in the email, we're going to do things just a little bit different. We're going to have this one session, and then we won't do a second session. We'll just do this first session. And we want to take our time with this. What I have here was a suggestion a couple of times by someone who said, you know, you should look at the word therefore, not just in the book of Romans, but that's what we're going to do, the book of Romans, and watch that word therefore play out through the book of Romans and the good that comes out of it. So I sat down and did that, and I was kind of like, wow, that is a great education tool for someone, especially if they're not settled in their salvation, justification. They don't understand the difference between law and grace. They haven't come into the place of having that foundational book of Romans settled. This is a great study tool. I had never done it before. What we used to say here is when you see the word therefore, you need to go back and see what it's there for, right? And so therefore is not a word that you would use to start a sentence unless you've already made some information known, right? So if I were to stand here and said, therefore I'm leaving, you'd be like, therefore what? You're leaving, you know? So now if I sat up here and said, my right foot is hurting and I can't stand up here, therefore I'm leaving, then you'd say, okay, that makes sense, right? But if I just started a sentence with therefore, it wouldn't make sense to you. And so when you see the word therefore, and then you go back to see what was previously spoken, makes this a strong educational type tool in the Bible. So it's really important. The other word that we'll look at eventually, not today, but wherefore. Therefore is expounding, it's giving you the result of something that's already been spoken. Wherefore is taking and looking out there, right? Looking forward. And so easy little Bible tips like that sometimes get pointed out to you, and it becomes eye-opening and refreshing to help you study the Bible. But anyway, so this morning we'll go to prayer and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start our Bible study and see what comes out of this thing as we study it, okay? So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for this day, another day of life, another day of your grace and your mercy. We're so thankful for your long-suffering, for those, Lord, that still have the opportunity to believe upon your Son, how that he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for their justification, that if they, by simple faith, would believe that and receive it by faith, they too could be saved. We give you all the praise, we give you all the thanks, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so go to the book of Romans. The strange thing is we don't really have a text. We're just going to pick up with the word therefore. Look down in chapter 2, if you will. And so what I'll do, I'll read the verse where we find the word therefore, and then I'll kind of take you back so you can see what it's there for. Does that make sense? All right, so look here in chapter 2, verse 1. The first therefore, if you will. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself, for thou that judgest does the same thing. So, you go back to chapter 1, because he opens chapter 2 with therefore, so you would need to know what was going on in chapter 1 to understand chapter 2 and verse 1, right? So what Paul does, and I thought about this morning, this is unique. When you go to Romans 1, Paul comes down, declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He declares that he is ready to preach the gospel. And I thought about this morning pretty strong because we've said this before here. He goes down verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he goes into what? The failure of man. Think about that. So Paul is going to go preach the gospel. But the first thing he's going to lay out is the sin nature of man. So what's Paul going to do? He's going to give the bad news. before he gives the good news. You need to think about that, because we talk about giving people the gospel. The gospel will have no effect on a man who does not understand that he is fallen in nature, he can't help himself, he's a sinner to the flesh, he needs Christ. Right? So until you get someone to realize that they're lost, because most people have the mindset they're not that bad. Right? I'm not that bad a person. You know, I live as good as most of you church people. Well, probably so. Right? But that dollar gets you a Coke, it won't get you to heaven. Okay? You got to understand. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he's going to go preach that gospel, but he's going to lay out man's fallen nature. Okay? And we've studied that in Romans chapter 1 here a while back about the nature of man, part 1, 2, and 3, I think we had it. So he goes on to that, and what he's saying there in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore what? Therefore, I, God, the Creator, made myself known unto man through visible and invisible things, through my word, through my prophets, I made myself known. They rejected me, went out and made their own gods, right? He says, therefore, what I've done, who you are, who I am, therefore, you're inexcusable. So a man can say that there's no God. What does the Bible call that man? He says he's a fool, right? He rejects God. God says he's inexcusable. He said, I've given you things by the eye that you should be able to see to know that there is a supreme God, right? I've given the invisible things. I've given my word. I've given the testimony of myself through preaching and teaching, and therefore you reject me. See, it's not about God rejects people, right? They reject God, and God says, that's your choice, right? So hell will not be populated with people that God rejected. It'll be populated with people who rejected God. He says, therefore, you are inexcusable. That's the way he finishes that off, or starts that off in the book of Romans in chapter 2. Man rejected God, went after his own God, and God says, hey, the judgment is up on you. Right? The judgment is up on you. When we see chapters 1 and 2, Paul's dealing here with that Jew, that law-minded Jew. That's what he's dealing with here. All right? But he includes all men. Okay? So he uses that for the example. Now look up at Romans chapter 2 and verse 21. And he's going to deal here with the law-minded people again. 2:21, thou therefore, which teacheth another, teacheth thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, does thou steal? Well, let's look at that a different way. Say I preach a man should not steal. I tell Willie, you should not steal. Okay? Let's say I don't steal, but I commit adultery. Is it the same?
Yeah.
Right? What does James say about it? James says if you offend in one point of the law, you as well as broke them all, right? So maybe Willie has never went out here and physically murdered anybody, right? But Willie has sinned, right? Donnie has sinned. Everybody in this room has sinned. Everybody in this room does sin, right? So when we break God's righteous law, one part of it, we've broke it all, right? So the law-minded people that reach out to us sometime through Facebook that we ought to be teaching the law, about keeping Sabbath days, right? As if they can't read the book of Colossians and see what Paul says about that. So they're going to keep Sabbath days. Well, what are you going to do with the 612 points of the law back there? What are you going to do with those? I'll guarantee you sitting somewhere in a Waffle House choking down bacon, right? What are you going to do with that? The dietary laws, and what are you going to do with it? You see what people do. They dummy down the law to pretend that they keep the law. Right? And if you'll just stay with this therefore, it'll lead you right out of that stuff. It'll make so much sense to you if you'll just follow the therefores. Right? It'll lead you to green pastures, I promise you. It'll get you out of that mindset of performing under law. Alright? So look here at the strength, what Paul is saying here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself, that preached a man should not steal, does thou steal? So what Paul is saying is the law will give sin its strength. right? It will expose it in you and on you. Why? Because when I go out, and you know this is what churchianity has done so poorly, and while people out there look at so-called Christians and churches, they want to call you a hypocrite. You know why? Because these churches have made them believe that they keep the law. And when they see them not keeping the law, what do they say? You're a hypocrite. Well, let me tell you, it's never going to come out of this room that I keep the law. Right? Not for my salvation, not for my righteousness. Not do I take the law and say, I've got to live that out or else I'm not saved. No, not going to do it. I'm going to live by the grace of God. Doesn't mean that we do contrary. Doesn't mean that we go out here and say, I will kill, I will steal. That's not at all what we're saying. But I'm not going to sit and tell people and stand on the law and say, look at me, so that the first time I burp, they look at me and say, you're not saved. And they do that, by the way. They do that on my job. They do that. They're trying to critique everything you do by the law. You know why? That's what they've been taught Christianity is. They have no clue what grace is. They have no clue what salvation really looks like in grace. They don't know. All right? So look at 1 Corinthians 15. When people want to make boasts that they're keeping the law, they don't do this, they don't do that, there's something that they do, and that's the tripping point, right? That's the tripping point. When you start to, you build that thing up again that Paul said what? That makes him a sinner? Is law sin? No. Law is holy, it's just, and it's good. But the battle, Paul said, was that there's nothing good in me that is in my flesh. So there's the contradiction. There's the issue, right? It's not the law, it's you yourself and the law, which does what? It points out, right, like a mirror, that you are broken. It shows you sin. It's to acknowledge the sin, right? So what is law really going to do for you? Teach you that you're a sinner, right? Now, if you saw that and said, man, I can't do that, and you were honest with yourself and say, let's don't fake it, right? You'd understand when you start to read what God has done differently without the law, you'd understand that. So look here in 15 and 56, 1 Corinthians 15, 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is what? The law. It's not going to fix it in you. Right? It's not going to fix it in you. You're going to have to reckon yourself dead to sin. How are you dead to sin? Because I'm dead to the law. Right? That's the only way you can be freed. You know, religion says, let's take the law and apply it to our flesh. Grace says, let's take the law and flesh and nail it to the cross. Right? How simple is that? All right? Look at the next, therefore, back in Romans. Romans chapter 2, and look at verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In that verse, you have doers and breakers is really what you're looking at. But you've got to understand, you can't pull that verse out of the Bible and say, well, there are some people that are doing the law. No, you're going to find out they're not. Okay? You're going to find out that Paul is going to show these folks that is done away. All right? Look at James and look at 2, 9 and 10. I've been around religion all my life. And people always come back to you and they preach James to you. Okay? Yeah, they do all that business. They always go back to the Old Testament and they say, well, the Bible says that the law is forever binding. Well, the law has a binding attribute. But the law never was given to us Gentiles to begin with. Right? It was given to a nation. So God, back there in justifying people, they according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, said, whatever you command we do, we'll do it, and that shall be our righteousness. Good luck, right? Then Jesus tells the Pharisees, or his group, lest your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter in. So there was a doing under the law, right? There was a commandment by the law. There was a work by the law. All these people that teach that those men back there saw Jesus and everything they did, and they all knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross and pay for their sins, folks. That's the mystery of Christ, that all men today can be justified by the faith of Christ. Amen. The faith of Christ. That's the mystery, folks. That's the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is in Christ and what he did that requires no work of us whatsoever, only to believe on him. Therefore, we are justified where? In Christ. You know? He can justify ungodly people, not based on them being ungodly, but based on the fact that he can make them righteous in Christ. Right? You see the mystery of that thing? They didn't know that back there. When God gave them faith to do, faith said, go do. Right? When he said, go offer this sacrifice for your sin, they did what? They went and offered a sacrifice for sin. Well, what if a man back there said, I'm absolutely not going to do any of that? Then it simply meant what James said. His faith was no good. If he didn't respond to what God said do, that meant he didn't have faith. Now think about that for a second. What has God asked you to do by faith today? That's exactly right. If you don't do that, what are you showing? If you say, I've got to go to church 3 times a week, I've got to go build something, do something, what are you saying? I don't have faith. I don't believe God. I don't believe God when he said, for by grace are you saved. Right? It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't believe God if that's not true. If Christ didn't do all that by grace, by faith, hung on a cross, shed his blood, buried, dead, raised again. If he didn't do all that, and I don't believe that, then nobody's going to heaven today. Right? That is my faith. So when a person says that faith without works is dead, you can look them right in the eye and say, amen. But there's faith in Christ and there's faith of Christ. Take your Bible and open up to the book of James you get home today. 5 chapters. Find me one mention of the cross. Find me one mention of Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and raised again. Find it. He's not preaching it. He's preaching a law covenant to the nation Israel, and he's speaking about the time of tribulation in which they're going to enter and how they're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Right? Two different things going on, folks. That's the contradictions that mess us up when we don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. I told you, turn to James. About an hour ago. Look at 2, 9, and 10. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of how much of that law? All that law. See, that's what James is preaching. Is James preaching saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone? Or is James preaching faith plus works? That's what James is preaching. Well, it's in the same Bible. I get it. God's got more than one thing in the Bible for us, doesn't he? If you'll pick up that book and start to realize that you can't just go anywhere you choose in it and say, that's me, you'll be way better off, right? How long have we taught you that? So there in 2:26, therefore, he's saying, if the uncircumcised person were to keep the law perfectly, then that would be given unto him as what? As righteousness, as the same. It would take away the fact that he wasn't uncircumcised, is what he's saying. But what the book is doing is letting Israel know and the Jews know it's not about the outward circumcision. What they were supposed to have done, according to God in the old covenant that he gave them, was circumcise their hearts. And they failed to do that. It became the Abrahamic covenant to them, and it was about the flesh, and they left out the spiritual content. They left out the heart of it. And you know what it did to them? It made them Pharisees. It made them judgmental. That's what it does to you today, right? I'm better than you are. Well, it's not wise to compare ourselves amongst one another, right? If you want to know how bad you are or are to the flesh, just compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And you'll see you come up way short, right? And I mean more than 5'7". I mean, you're really short, right? Look at the next one here. Romans 3:20. There's a lot more we could do with this, and we might, but I just want to hit these passages. And I'm going to show you this one here in clarity. Try to. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So therefore what, Paul? And it's easy to see. Go back now. You got 3 and 20. Go back and look at 3 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. So what Paul is going to show these people here in Romans, he's showing us as well. But you can tell that this is a Jewish content here because he's dealing so harshly with the law, right? So look here at 3:9. What then, are we better than they? He's speaking of the Jew against the circumcision or uncircumcision, the Gentile. No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all what? So what does that mean? Every man's a sinner, right? The idea that you get better so God will save you just got tossed out of the Bible right there. It's got tossed out. You didn't get better. You didn't quit sinning and God said, now I can save him. He just said, he concluded, we're all under sin. Watch this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What does that mean? There's none that keep the law perfectly. The righteousness of the law that was in the law, they couldn't keep it perfectly. If they could have, there would have been no need for animal sacrifice. If they could have, then Jesus Christ would be dead in vain. Right? All right, now look at verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So the people you want to talk to about the gospel, how they need Christ, when they say, well, I'm a pretty good person, that's a perfect place to take them. Right? Well, the Lord said, there's none of us good. Always include yourself in those conversations too. Don't get all pious and try to put yourself out there like you're good. Right? When you use those verses, say that means me, that means my parents and your parents and all those around us and every man, there's none good, no, not one. Now, what you need to let them understand is he's not comparing you to the neighbor, right? He's comparing you to his righteous son, where the righteousness of God is today is in his son. That's what he's comparing you to. By that comparison, there's none good, right? Not one. Now, I love the way it says, there is none that doeth good, comma, no, and then, comma, not one. I love that. He's making it clear. And the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen here, hardhead. Look back up at verse 10. As is written, there is none righteous, comma, no, comma, not one. The Holy Spirit is taking time to say, get out of yourself, you're not good. Right? And that's why Paul could say in Romans 7, there's nothing good in my flesh. Right? So when you get past that, so we're all sinners, there's none good. So if we're all sinners, there's none good, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that are righteous, what do you think we're going to have? Got to have righteousness, right? Not some righteousness. Not something that you can build up out of your flesh from a religious content and say God's going to accept that. No, you got to have his righteousness. All right? So watch this. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who was under the law? Israel, right? Now watch this though. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. There's your law, folks. You're guilty. You're standing in the courtroom of God. Before you get into Christ, you're standing there guilty. The Bible said back there, all under sin, right? What would that mean, the condemnation of it? If you die and leave this life unsaved, you're not going to heaven, right? You're not going to go through life rejecting God and then get it changed somewhere in eternity, right? So watch now what he says about that in verse 20. Here's your next therefore. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. You see that? So the law was to say that sin is sin. You know, and it's even greater than that, right? So that's where it gets its strength. And so the Holy Spirit says through Paul that therefore, because it can't save you, it can only condemn you, it can only make you guilty, no flesh is going to be justified that way, right? But look at 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. See that? But now. What would that tell you? At some point, the law played a part in Israel's righteousness. Do people really read the Bible? Do they really study and believe what they read when they see it? At some point, if it's but now the righteousness of God is revealed, it's revealed now. That means it wasn't revealed back there. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Read the words and believe the words. So Paul is now given a further revelation of what Christ did on the cross and by the cross. He is saying now that the righteousness of God, it comes through Christ dying, being buried, and then raising again the third day, ascended back to the Father, gave Paul this revelation over here now that you get righteousness without the law. That's simple, man. You really believe the Bible, that's simple stuff. Right? I mean, anybody lost yet? You got man back here in chapter 2, you're inexcusable. God's already told you your condition. I've already made myself known. Just because you didn't want to retain me in your thoughts and you had a wicked imagination, that's not my fault, says God. You're inexcusable. Right? Then he comes up and says, okay, you guys want to fix it by the law in chapter 3. He said, there's none good. You're all sinners. You can't fix it in chapter 3 by the law. He said, therefore, no flesh is going to be judged by it or made righteous by it. Right? None is going to be made righteous by the law there. He says, now the righteous God without the law has been revealed because there's something that I'm going to tell you about that the power of this cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His blood has done a work for you that your salvation can now never be without works. So when they say works, faith without works is dead, amen. I'll never live another day of my life without good works because it all happened right there. It's what He did. When you learn to rest in what He did, that's faith. That's faith. Take your hands off the guardrails. You don't need them. Rest in what Jesus Christ did. That's the faith of Christ. All the work has been done. Now we are created into His workmanship, unto good works that He before ordained, that we should what? Walk in them. Should walk in them. Okay? But those walk, that walk and that work, it's not my walk and work, it's His walk and work. It's what He did by the cross and what He manifested in me by His Spirit. Right? That's the work. Okay? I can't do it out of my flesh. I can't do it out of my own strength. I can't do it out of my own intellect. I can't do it out of me. That's why he said it's not of yourself in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If people would really get down to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and see what that really means, you know what we do with that? We make that the gospel. It's more than that, folks. 2, 8 and 9 is about everything that Jesus Christ did by grace through faith that you could be created in Him a workman. You understand? It's His faith. It's His grace. It's not of yourself. right? Nothing outwardly I could do, nothing inwardly I could do. It's all by the grace of God. People despise that. You know why? Because every man hits a default button. You know what the default button is in every man? The law. The law. How am I going to fix a bad deed? Do something good. That's the law. Every man goes back to the law for a default button. He goes back to his flesh, how to correct things. When you learn to live in this body of work that Jesus Christ did, nobody can ever look at you and say, your faith is dead because your works are dead. No, my faith is alive because Jesus Christ is alive. He did all the work. I'm resting in that. All right? James was talking to a different group of people under a different set of circumstances. Law covenant people. I'm not a law covenant person, neither are you. You understand? All right? So look at Romans 3 and 9. We've already looked at that. We'll move on. Look at Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. God's righteousness is God's glory. And God's righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Righteousness was in God's law. That's why the Bible says that the law is holy, it's just, and it's good. But what does the Bible say about man in Romans chapter 3? He says, for we've all sinned and come short of what? God's glory, God's righteousness. Right? We've all, if you really think you've obtained to the place that your righteousness matches the righteousness of Jesus Christ out of your filthy flesh, you're sick, you need help. You're spiritually broken. Maybe even lost. Right? Right? You need Bible study in the worst kind of way, man. You need to grab every grace preacher you know, and you need to get on your knees and watch those videos. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. There was a man in the Bible that plunged me into sin. His name was Adam. And there's a man in the Bible that became sin for me, that I might be made the righteous of God in him. His name is Jesus Christ. Right? I'm going to show you that here in a second. So you need God's righteousness. And when you believed on Christ, he imputed, he charged that righteousness to you. Right? Look at Galatians 2. Look at verse 16. Great verse right here. Now your New Age Bibles change words around here. Watch this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, they change that word. They change that word of to in. That gives that a whole different meaning when you do that. Watch it again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Right? The faith of Jesus Christ. What Christ has done, folks. Not what you've done, what Christ has done. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You see that? And not by the works of law, for by the works of law shall no flesh be justified. How many people are going to get justified by the law in that verse? Nobody, right? It's by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why you better hold dear to a King James Bible. Right? Watch verse 17 now. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found what? Sinners. Why? Because by the law is the acknowledgement of sin. That's the strength of sin. So Paul says, go ahead. Strive with the law, and all it's going to do is point out that you are a sinner. Right? Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. But if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself what? Transgressor. If I build back up on the law, I make myself a transgressor. Somewhere I've broken it, right? All right. So go back and look at Romans and chapter 3. Man, we're going to beat all the denominations to Bojangles today. All right, look at Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 28. your next therefore. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How does that happen? Look at Romans chapter 10. This is the very point that Israel missed. Look at Romans chapter 10. Read this verse carefully when you read it. Chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is what? He's the end of the law for what? To everyone that does what? All right. If he was the end of the law and is the end of the law, the righteousness, there had to be some righteousness in the law for those who follow the law back there. Something brought an end to it. What brought the end to it? Christ. See, Paul said, had there been a law that could have given life, then righteousness would have come by that. The law didn't give life. It couldn't give life in that it was weak through the flesh. The life came here. When the life came, the law got put away. Right? This dispensation of grace, which we live in, which people are absolutely trashing it up by putting the law in it, because they can't accept the fact that God don't need their stinking flesh. He don't need their crops and their money, right? What he needs is their faith in Christ and the faith of Christ working in them. So they take this dispensation of grace and they cancer it up with law-minded people, hiding the gospel that saves them, hiding the revelation of the mystery which is given unto Paul. And when you say the revelation of the mystery, they look at you like, what in the world are you talking about? What book do you have? I've got the Bible. Don't be ashamed, fella. I used to be in the same spot you're in. Let's look at it together. Oh, well, no. You ain't going to take me out of my family tree, man. I'm good with what I got. I really believe there's people that'll hold on to a family tradition and go to hell versus taking the Bible and call themselves righteous. Well, I'll tell you what. My daddy did it. My grandpa did it. His daddy before him did it. I'm going to stay right behind them. Well, didn't you read the Bible? There's none good, no, not one. Yeah, that meant your daddy and his daddy and his daddy. I said it many times in this room right here. The worst problem my son's got, I'm his dad. Right? Goes all the way back to Adam. Right? You don't y'all sit here with your halo crooked on your horns like you're better than I am either. Right? Y'all know good and well. You know what you did last night. Right? This dispensation of grace does not need our work to be saved. We're going to see that here in a second. Right? Romans 3:28. Again, read it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified how? By faith. Right? What is faith? Perfect. That's right. Perfect. Man, y'all grown up. You really have. That's a good, quick answer, and that's the right answer. It's believing God. Yeah. It ain't standing out here saying, God, if you'll show me a sign, if you'll let the sky open up and just something happen, and I'll trust you and believe you. And God's saying, stand out there, brother. It's hot. It's going to get hotter today. You know, staring up into the sun and waiting for some sign to come to you. I've already put it in my word. Why don't you go believe me? Right? I don't need a sign. Right? It's amazing to me, man, what religion has done. Look at Galatians 3:21. We're coming on. We got about five more there for us. 3:21. I'll shorten some of these other ones up so we can get you out to breakfast. What's this? Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For had there been a law given, which could have given what? Life? Verily, righteousness should have come by how? Right. Even though God gave these people back here, he gave them faith plus works plus law. What do you think is really going to justify them? That's right. And God did it on the merits of what? What they were doing?
No.
Nah. He did it on the merits of this cross right here. So you don't know that till you get to Paul. Paul explains to you how all the way back through history of man and dealing, God's dealing with man, Paul explains how God can justify ungodly people. Right? Well, they were looking toward the cross, my hind leg. They had no clue. God was looking toward the cross. And he says, I'll do it this way right here. Can I tell you, ain't no man going to go to heaven, never has gone to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? Nobody. David didn't. Moses didn't. You know what? They had to have their sins washed away too. You know what washed away their sins? The same blood that washed away my sin. It's Jesus Christ. It didn't come from a bullet. It didn't come from a goat. Right? It didn't come from ripping the head off of a pigeon. It came from Jesus Christ when he hung on that cross and shed his blood for the sins that were back there and all the sin forward. Amen. Right? That's how you go to heaven. Faith. Mm-hmm. Right? But did they know that? No. No, they didn't. So what did they do by faith?
The law.
They did the works and they did the law. Right? Yeah. To keep the law. And when they broke it, they did what? They went back and they offered up a sacrifice for it, didn't they? See how God put that in there, right? He wouldn't have put a system in if he thought they were going to keep it perfectly. He knew they weren't. And he didn't give it to them to keep it perfectly. He gave it to them to bring them to him. And it did opposite with them.
That's what they wanted, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But he said, here you go. You need to look at my righteousness here. You need to see that that's higher than Mount St. Everest. You're never going to get to the top. Every day of your life, you're going to climb that ladder of the law. No, man. You're not going to get there. It should tell you you can't do it. Now come to me, right? Have your heart circumcised. All right. So look at Romans chapter 4. Look down at verse 16. That's not what I want. I missed one. No, I didn't. I'm right. Romans 4:16. It helps when you're not in Galatians 4:16. It's like, man, I messed that all up. How did I do that? I was getting ready to call on Roy back there since he suggested this. 4:16. Therefore, watch this, folks. This is good stuff. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And I believe that means the father of faith. What I believe you have in Abraham, I believe you have in Abraham, in that one verse, watch this, in that one verse, Abraham, you have the great symbol of faith. Right? In Paul, in that same verse, you have the great symbol of grace. See that? Watch. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. See that? Right? That's pretty straight and clear. You don't need to do a lot of expounding on that, do you? You've got the two symbols there. Abraham, he is the very example of faith. When God just said, Abraham, here you go. Here's the promise. And Abraham did what? He believed God. And what did God do? He imputed it to him as righteousness. Right? Look down at 4:22. You're next, therefore. Look at verse 21 first. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I want to stop on that one verse for a second. Abraham said, God promised, I'm fully persuaded that God will perform it. That gospel says that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and he arose again the third day for my justification. I'm fully persuaded that that's all it takes for a soul to be saved. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that everything that he has said, that he has done in, by, and through his Son, I am fully persuaded that that's the Word of God, and he does not need my actions, my flesh, to make that happen. All he's asking me is to do what Abraham did. And when I do what Abraham did and I believe God for the message given unto me, what does he do? Look at verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know what God does? He says, okay, I put my sin on my son, and I put my son's righteousness to your account. See, here I get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He got my sin. That's the greatest trade ever made. Right? And we're trying to handle our sin. Better get to the confessional. Yeah. I did bad. You better get down and confess that thing. Right? Confess what? I'm a bum. Right? I'm no good in the flesh. He done told me that. What am I going to confess? He's done away with it all. He nailed it to the cross. God's saying, believe me, the sin deal is done for you. I've taken care of that. Believe me. But I was taught, I know I was too, man. I was taught, say a bad word, you're on your way out. I might have to extend this for an hour. Somebody just pulled up. Look back at Romans 4. See if you can make any sense out of these two verses at all. Help me out here. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Could there be any simpler verse in all the Bible about your righteousness? Do we need to go to a seminary? Do we need to learn Greek or Hebrew? You read the verse, it's to him that works not, right? But he believes on him that did all the work. It's simple, man. That's good stuff. Therefore, Christ has done all the work. All I have to do is believe on Christ. When I believe on Christ, the very moment I believe on Christ, I'm baptized into his death. I'm raised, seated with him in heavenly places. Everything he has, I have. And that might sound like vanity, but I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him, right? I got nothing of my own I could boast, right? Look at you next, therefore. Romans chapter 5. Watch how he starts out. Verse 1. Therefore, being, and that don't mean you're being justified. That means you have been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you justified in that verse? How? By faith. Therefore. Well, what would I know? Therefore, he started that verse out that way. What would I do? I'd go back, I'd read how Abraham believed. And when Abraham believed, God charged it to him for righteousness. And then I read verse 24 and 25. Not just for Abraham, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. I believe that. Therefore, being justified by what? That faith. Now see, that simplifies the faith that God's looking for, doesn't it? Did God put any more business in that faith? Simply believe, he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for your justification. I will impute his righteousness unto you. See how simple it gets when you follow it that way, right? So therefore, we being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not only do we have peace with God, but we can have the peace of God when the Word is in us working effectually, right? And we're not trying to trust ourselves. Look back at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Got that? All right, now look at verse 24. I want to put these on the board right here. When I put these on the board, if you ever have a doubt how you're justified, that you need your mama or daddy to take a belt off to you and whip you real good. Because there ain't anything in here about you doing anything except believing. Watch this. Being justified how? Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus. So right there, you're justified freely by what? by His grace. Does that make Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 stand out a little taller? Right? Grace. Look at your next one. Look at 3:28. Actually, go back and look at 5:1. I'm sorry. Therefore, being justified by what? What does Ephesians say? By grace through what? Start to stand out a little taller for you. All right, look down at 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by His what? By His blood. Your blood? Why would you ever confuse righteousness and salvation with you? It wasn't your grace, it wasn't your faith, and it wasn't your blood. Why in the world would you ever confuse salvation with something you could do? Does that make it stand a little taller? Therefore, yeah. That's good stuff, man. I don't care if it is me teaching it. That's good stuff. Look down at Romans chapter 5 and look at your next therefore. Chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Well, that therefore, you would go backwards and you would see that you got two Adams in the Bible. You got the first man Adam, and you got the second man Adam. Turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was a living soul. See that? And that living soul, Adam, plunged us into sin. Watch the next one. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's Christ, who became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Where? In Him. You see that? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You ought to chase that word Lord sometime in your Old Testament. Just as the way it states it right there in 1 Corinthians. He was the Lord from heaven. It's the same Lord that spoke all things into existence. Creator God, right? From heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. There's two spheres, there's two programs in your Bible right there. Right? Israel's going to fill up the earth, and we're going to fill up the heaven. Right? And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Right? All right, so let's look at our next therefore. Go back to Romans. Romans in chapter 5, or chapter 6. God justifying ungodly people. Paul explains how that can be done. Right? God says, I'll take the only righteous one amongst you, which is Christ. I'll put Him on a cross to die for your sins, pay for everything that's wrong with you. That's my righteousness. Now believe on Him. Right? And watch what He does. Remember, we talked about that first Adam and the last Adam. Watch what He does with this. Therefore, we are buried with Him, 6 and 4, Romans. Therefore, see that? We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That therefore, you got to go back and read chapter 5, and how it all comes together, how Adam is the bad guy, right? And how the only good one in that verse was Christ. Your name never got mentioned one time. And what God did to reverse the sin curse upon man, your name didn't get mentioned one time. He said, by one condemnation, by one sin, by one righteousness, right? By one the free gift. That one ain't you. It's Jesus Christ, right? So then he comes here and he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. That's not water. That's the Spirit baptizing you into the death of Jesus Christ and then raising you up to seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now you're 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? What did he do with the first Adam? He hung him on the cross in the likeness of sinful flesh. Right? He became sin for us. Right? Adam, that first Adam, earthy, Jesus Christ came in the form of an earthly man. Right? But he wasn't a soul like Adam from a standpoint that God created him out of dirt. He was God Almighty, came down, clothed himself in human flesh, and went to the cross to undo what the first Adam did. Right? Folks, that's salvation. That's justification. That's sanctification. That's everything is in Christ Jesus. Your name's not mentioned one time in being saved outside of you believing on the last Adam who did everything in the world it would take to save you. And we confuse salvation. Well, God knew something. You did. You sinned. That was your part, man. You were a low-down, rotten sinner doing whatever you want to do, and God saved you when you believed on Christ. Well, I need some evidence. Jesus is risen. Read the Bible. Heard a guy post that the other day. Evidence of my salvation is my works. Well, what happens when you do a bad work? You unsaved? Right? You know the evidence of my salvation? Romans chapter 1. You want to read it? I'll give you the evidence of my salvation. Watch this right here. I'll give you the receipt. I'll give you the copy that came off of God's printer that says, here's your salvation evidence. Anybody want it? I'll give it to you right here this morning. Look down here at Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of wholeness by the resurrection from the dead. There is the receipt that everything that Christ did, God Almighty was happy with it, satisfied with it, and says it's done. I raised him from the dead. If he did not pay for every sin, had he had one sin, God could not have raised him victoriously. That's my salvation evidence right there. And any time I want evidence, I go to that verse. If Jesus is raised and seated in heaven, and I'm raised and seated with him in heaven, guess what I've got? I've got God's receipt copy that says, I'm saved. It ain't about my stinking flesh. If I go out here and swim today. Right? You do that without a shirt on? No, I wear a shirt and a tie to get in a pool, ignoramus. It ain't about what I do in my flesh that proves I'm saved or not saved. I want to do the right thing. Sure, I want to do the right thing. Do I always? Absolutely not. And y'all already know that, right? And I know the same about you. That's my receipt copy. Therefore, he was raised. Therefore, I'm saved. I've believed on him, right? I sidetracked a little bit. Anyway, when Paul deals there in 6 and 4, he's dealing now with your new identity in Christ. Therefore, being buried with him with baptism, right? Into his death. Okay? Now you understand why Paul could say that? I'm crucified with Christ? What part of me is crucified with Christ? That Adamic Adam right there, the one that I was in until believing on Christ, that he pulled me out of him and stuck me into Christ when I believed. The Spirit did all that. Right? I didn't feel anything. It wasn't a bluebird sitting on a fence post whistling Amazing Grace, right? No cloud opened up. The sun didn't get brighter. I didn't see angels, you know, moving around. None of that business happened. I believed and he put me in Christ. He didn't ask me about it, what I thought about it. I didn't have to do anything but believe and he put me in Christ, sealed me with the Spirit of God in Christ until the day of redemption. All that joy. jargon that they put. I've never found a bluebird in the verses. You ever heard that? Make you doubt your salvation, man. Preachers do that. Well, I know tonight I got saved. Stars were bright and the clouds were doing this. That's not in the Bible, man. That's your head. And you sit there and go, well, that didn't happen to me. I wonder if I got saved. Why don't a man just take and show you the verses? You believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? Yeah, I believe that. All right. You know what he did with your son? What did he do with me? He took you out of Adam and put you into Christ. And you know what the certificate is? The certificate is that he raised him from the dead. He'd never die again. You know what you are? You're secure in Christ. Why don't a man do that with salvation? I tell you why, he got to have you come back on Sunday. As long as you run around like this all your life, I better get to church. You know, what? I want you sure. I want you to be absolutely sure, and I want you to be able to go in here and show people, I'm saved because of this, not because I do anything. Right? All right. Let's look at the next one, and we've got two more, and we're going to be done. Therefore, chapter 8, Romans. It ain't bad to sometimes go back and deal with these, what are simple topics for us now, like justification. It's good to go back and touch these sometimes. And this little study here, it did that for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? What brought condemnation? The law. Yeah, I think that verse is saying. Right? You want to walk after the law? You know what you're going to find? In yourself, you're going to find condemnation. Amen? When you walk after the Spirit, you know what you won't find? You won't find that condemnation. Not only that, God says condemnation's been lifted off of you anyway. Because you now have my righteousness, I've given it to you. You're no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit now, if the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. Right? So people walk around here feeling condemned because they're walking after the flesh, which they're walking after the law. And here's why I believe that. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through what? The flesh. God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin what? In the flesh. Whose flesh? Yours? So if you get your flesh all pretty, you put lipstick on it, smell good, is that going to put away your sin? He said, not by your flesh. Did He send you to the cross? Did He call you His only begotten Son that was going to die for the sins of the world? Did He make you to be sin and put you on a cross so that everybody else can be made righteous? No, won't you drop your law-minded attitude then and get off of it? Won't you believe God's grace? Well, it's harsh. No, it ain't harsh. That's just somebody telling you like it is by the Bible, man. It's by His flesh. It's by His blood. It's by what He did, His work. How could we ever confuse that ever again in our life? How could you ever go home a day in your life and say, I just kicked the cat. I wonder if I'm saved or not. I just smacked Randy on the ride because he was going too fast. I wonder if I'm saved now. Yeah? Why would you ever worry about being saved if you believe these verses? You know what they do with them? They twist them. Let's go get some James and I'll prove some stuff to you. You ain't going to prove nothing to me except you're Bible ignorant, running and getting James and plunging it back into Paul. That's what you're going to show me. That you don't know the difference between 12 tribes of Israel and the body of Christ. That's what you're going to show. Right? Ignorance is not a bad word. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. Amen. Romans 5:16 in closing. Romans 5:16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the free gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. You got the two Adams in that one verse. One that sinned and one that justifies. And God can justify whoever He chooses to justify. Right? And those who believe on Christ and what He did alone, God justifies. And the final one, Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, the last therefore. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. See that? We owe the flesh nothing. We are not in debt to the flesh. How could Paul say that? Well, I'll just go back up and read it. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. There's your flesh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's the spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. There's the flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. There's your flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's your flesh. Right? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the nasty flesh. We owe him nothing. Paul Lucas says you don't even owe him a haircut. Amen? You're not in debt to the flesh. God said, here's what I think about your flesh. Kill it. Crucify it. Put it on a cross. Do away with it. Christ died for our sins, buried with our sins, but he was risen without our sin. That's what God felt about your flesh. Right? So with that being said, I may post these notes just so you can go through. If not, you can simply take a concordance of some sorts and go find that therefore. And the next time, maybe we'll look at wherefore. But anyway, hopefully that helped you some. It did me in just studying. I probably didn't do it justice teaching it, but I am what I am, and that's all I got, folks. All right? So let us pray before we dismiss here, and we'll go off camera. Anybody have a question, we'll answer it. Father, we're thankful to be able to fellowship over your word, thankful for the Bible that you have given us, preserving the word of God for us. We're thankful for the King James Bible. Above all things, we're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for everything that was wrong with us. By his death, by his burial, by his resurrection, by his blood, to freely give us all things. We love you for it and thank you for it and give you all the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.